How are y'all today?
Awesome. That's pretty good. Awesome. Well, I figured today we would fill in the rest of the story, okay? We've been telling this story with the candles, and just so we can remember, what did we say the first candle was? The prophet's candle. They prophesied Jesus was coming. 425 prophecies in the Old Testament. The next candle was angel's candle. Angels, we saw them in the story over and over again announcing to people. That's what the word angel means, announce. The third candle, the pink one, was what? Shepherd's candle. And they were there with the angel. Yeah. And then the one last week was the Magi candle, who came much later, months later there, and visited the child Jesus with his parents in a house they were in by this time, the scripture says. And then on Christmas Eve, we lighted this this white candle. And what does that candle represent? The Christ. That's right. Jesus. That he came. Well, today, I'm going to read you what happened a few years later. Jesus went back to grow up in what town? Does anybody know what town he? No, he was born in Bethlehem. Nazareth, that's right. That's right, Nazareth. They went to the town of Nazareth, and there he grew up. And each year, people would come to the temple for the Feast of the Passover in Jerusalem. So, let's see if Brother Dusty can read, get this. I might need one of y'all to hold it out here for me. Thank you very much. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when Jesus became 12, they went up there together according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, they were spending the full number of days, and the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and their acquaintances. So what just happened? They left him. They left him. They just figured he was in the group with everybody else. And they're a day away and realize, we forgot Jesus. Have your parents ever forgotten you somewhere? There's a lady sitting on the second row here that left one of her children asleep in the church building years ago. We lived next door, but we got home. Oh, one of the kids is missing. Brandon was sound asleep on the pew over in the church building. So we know about that. Your cat was lost at the mall. I'm not going to ask you why you carry a cat to the mall in the first place. But all right. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, 3 days now, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Now, y'all got to understand what this is like. He's there with the big cheese. I mean, Jesus, 12 years old. Anybody 12? Who's 12? Anybody 11? Almost. Just think. You're there with the smartest people in your whole country and the religious leaders to boot. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated me this way? Behold, look, your father and I, we've been anxiously looking for you for 3 days. And he said to them, hear what Jesus said. "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. So listen to me. Even Jesus' earthly dad and mom did not understand all of what was going on with Jesus. That he truly was the Son of God. There are a lot of things they didn't understand. And when he asked them the question, he said, "Well, didn't you know? I'd be right here. Right here. In my Father's house." He was amazing. He grew up. We see him next. There he is with John the Baptist. He is baptized. His public ministry begins. And what happens 3 years later? Where does he go at the end of his ministry? Back to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, what would happen to Jesus? He died on the cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he arose from the dead. It's a beautiful story, a story of God's love, of God sending his only Son to be our Savior. That's why we light these candles. That's why we celebrate this season, as we've celebrated his first coming. Let's pray together. Now, Lord, thank you. Thank you for these children. I thank you for their understanding. Lord, I pray today that you would increase their knowledge of you, that you would increase their commitment to you. I pray you'll lead their parents as their parents show them example of what it looks like to serve Jesus. Thank you for them, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, before you go, I've got one little surprise in here. I've got to show you this. Your grandma gave me this. Say right there in my microphone what it says.
"Squeeze my cheeks and I'll give you a kiss."
All right. Girls, you heard him. Squeeze his cheeks and he'll give you. I tricked you, Samuel. You fell right in. "Squeeze my cheeks and I'll give you a kiss." That's in there. That's right. That's a Hershey's kiss. But if y'all want to get a kiss from Samuel, he'll be glad to give all y'all a kiss. Won't you, Samuel? Okay. All right, y'all can go to Kid Zone now. Don't you love it? Yeah, I know. I'm all discombobulated today with these wires. I want to make sure I wasn't hanging on anything there. And I can't use my glasses. Well, the microphone will fall off. Say what? Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much. That's what a large font is for. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2 today. We're so glad you're here today. I know some of you are visiting from out of town, and we've got people scattered out all over the place. People out of town, people that are visiting family and sick. And a lot of folks to pray for today. What about those mysterious magi? I told you last week we're going to talk about this a little bit more today. And we're going to go to several scriptures, but I want to begin with a story here in Matthew with the visit of the Magi. So follow along as I read there. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet.' And here is that quote from Micah: 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which had been resting, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and they worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." A few things, a few comments I want to make about this, and we're going to look at a couple of other scriptures. One from Numbers that I think you'll find very interesting, and one from Daniel. The time. When did the star appear? Well, apparently, from what we can determine from the context, the star appeared to them at the time of his birth. Now, they're over in the east, it says. They're probably somewhere in Mesopotamia, somewhere in the Babylon area. Some people have them as far as Persia. I don't know. We don't know. It's speculation at this point. But they're to the east, and there is revelation to them. This star appeared. Now these guys, these magi that come, we're probably talking about an entourage of at least 50 or 60 people, maybe 100 that have come. A whole group of them come, plus their servants, plus the guards that they have to take with them, their police force, if you will, because you wouldn't make a journey that far in a small group. You'd have to have people to protect you from the bandits. So when they arrive in Jerusalem, we're not talking about the arrival of just a couple of people. Three guys walking in to see King Herod. And that's what we have pictured traditionally, three. But there were many more of them. They just wouldn't travel in that kind of... We get the number three from the gifts that they brought, the three gifts. But we're talking about an entourage of people that arrived there in Jerusalem. Now, I want you to know that there is a scripture verse, a prophetic verse in the book of Numbers about the arrival of these magi who are led by a star. If you'll turn with me to Numbers chapter 24. Now I have another sermon. I'm not going to preach it today. About Balaam, who is this? I've quoted about Balaam is the one who has a certain animal that speaks to him. Anybody know what the identity of that animal? Yeah, that donkey speaks to him. Have a sermon on that, but he is a prophet of sorts. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile. He is actually from Mesopotamia himself, and he makes prophecies. Balak, one of the kings there, trying to get him to prophesy against these Israelites when they're traveling out of Egypt and coming into the Promised Land. He tries to get him to make this prophecy against them. And you have this whole story of how that happens and what happens to him, but that for another day. But later on in his prophecy, as God speaks to him and speaks through him, we see in verse 17 of chapter 24, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel and shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Sheth. And then goes on these other prophecies that will be fulfilled with the Christ. So here is a statement about this star appearing. Now turn with me, if you will, to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Now remember, Daniel and his buddies, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they are taken into captivity, and they're in Babylon, roughly about 604 B.C. They're taken there, and the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, has this dream, but he forgets the dream. And he brings his people together to try and interpret this dream for him. And verse 1 speaks about that in chapter 2. Now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king gave orders to call the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dream. So they came in, stood before the king, and the king said to them, I had a dream, my spirit is anxious to understand the dream. And so there begins that story. We'll not retell that story, but just briefly, this is how Daniel enters into the confidence of the king because God reveals to Daniel the dream and the interpretation of it. Now his magicians, his conjurers, these smart guys, these are one of the reasons why I read that to you. I want you to see that there were these people, the identity of these people who watched the stars. Who they were like early scientists, astronomers. Some would say, oh, they were just astrologers, but they were more than that. They looked at all of these things. Daniel, because he interprets the dream, it flips on these guys. And he becomes the leader of that group that I just named to you. Now, I want you to see this, though. Well, why is that integral to the story? I want you to see that there was a tradition over in Babylon that Daniel had a real influence on the culture over there. that these magi that show up at the birth of Jesus that were prophesied way back hundreds of years by Balaam, who is this prophet who really doesn't even belong to Yahweh, but God uses him nonetheless in several different ways, as he uses others that did not belong to him, because God can use whomever he decides to use. But you see, in these two places, we see that there is a tradition there that God has been speaking, prophesying about the star hundreds of years before. And then when Daniel is there, there he is telling them about Yahweh, about this one God. And they get to see God work in Babylon. And in fact, Nebuchadnezzar turns to the Lord. That's a wonderful story, reading the book of Daniel. So, quite possibly, you have this tradition, this teaching, being passed down through this group of magi, if you will, that began hundreds of years before. That these guys then listen to the Lord. God doesn't mince words. He doesn't waste words. And every word in this scripture is there for a reason. Are you following me here? So we do have a tradition for that. So these guys quite possibly came from Babylon, from that area. They had to come a long way. Some have put it as much as 15 months that it took them to get there. Now let's talk about the star a little bit. The star. Now, you can get on the internet and you can read everybody's opinion about the identity of that star. You have a triangulation of planets with comets, with these planets crossing at this time and all kinds of stuff there. I used to get into all that. But I have a different theory now about the star. Because you see, the star appears to them. You'll notice something that's missing in the story. Herod and all of Jerusalem is not talking about the star. Nothing in the scripture that speaks about them talking about the star, is it? There's no proof, really, that anybody else saw the star. Now follow me on this. What happened when Moses was out there in the wilderness? There he had left Egypt. He had been out, he had been away, really out there, a goat herder. Living that nomadic life, raising a family and all that. And God comes and reveals himself in what? You remember? Burning bush. Anybody else see that? Remember what happened in that experience? You know, he sees a bush that is on fire, yet it is not consumed. And what does God say to Moses? Take off your shoe, the ground on which you stand is holy. Now we call that a revelation of the Shekinah glory of God. That glorious shine that took place. We see another instance in the New Testament when Peter, James, and John had that experience up on the mount. You remember what we call that mount? We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. There, they had an experience with the Lord. They saw the star, and then when they get to Jerusalem, the star seems to disappear from the story. They go to Herod, asking about the identity of this king, because of course, what would they assume? Hey, these Jews, now if you follow my story, as they're remembering the story way back from and all that was taught them through Daniel and those traditions passed down and all that, remembering all that stuff, they're thinking, oh man, these Jews ought to be looking forward to their coming king. This Messiah is coming. Everybody will be excited. The star is there. And imagine their anticipation on the trip. We're going to get there and oh, there's going to be pomp and circumstance. And what happened? They get there. And Herod has to call in someone else. He has to call in the religious leaders who then search the scriptures to find out where he's going to be born. They use the scriptures to find out. And what passage did they find? They quoted it. We quoted it a moment ago. What passage was that? Micah 5:2. And it points out, and there are two different Bethlehems, it points out the correct Bethlehem that's in that passage. So, if I'm looking at this story, I'm seeing the star then reappears after they leave Herod and they're on their way. I'm seeing it as the revelation of the Shekinah glory of God in the heavens. And why wouldn't God use a star? Can God do that? Of course it can. Now, whatever interpretation you want to give to it, and all, I've given you mine. The way I look at that, it seems like a beautiful interpretation to me. The Shekinah glory, God revealing Himself in that. Now, let's talk about the opposition for just a moment. Let's talk about Herod for just a moment. Herod was a poser. He was a poser. He was not a Jew. He was an Edomite. He was put there in power by the Romans. The Romans didn't understand what was going on there. Herod really didn't understand what was going on there. And he was sitting on a throne that did not belong to him. And so when they speak of another king coming, what does he immediately think? Someone's going to take away my throne. So, no one was ready for this birth at this time. The Magi anticipated, most probably, that all these people would be waiting on this coming king. And they weren't. In fact, the only people that were there at the birth, outside of whatever animals were there, were humans, were the shepherds. No big news story. Yes, the sky had been lit up with the angelic chorus, but that was for them. Everyone else has gone on with their lives just like it had been happening. Any similarity of that today with things going on, what God's doing in the earth, and yet things seem to just rock right along? And let me tell you, this coming king, he's not convenient. He upsets things. He upset all of Jerusalem because Herod was upset. But that's the way Jesus always does. He makes things inconvenient, doesn't he? Now, there's the story. There's what happened. They go and they worship him. They leave Herod. They come in and worship the child now in the house, the scripture says. So they're not in the stable any longer. Someone asked me every year, why don't you put the Magi out in the scene? Well, because we don't do time warp photography here. In presentation, because they weren't there at the same time. If you had another scene, you'd have to have a scene of a house with the Magi coming there months and months later. They bring these gifts, and you remember what I said? There was, I'm going to give you another meaning of the gifts that they brought. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. Remember what we said the gold represented? That here the king was kind of, he was going, he's God, he's going to step down. The frankincense was the incense they burned there on the altar of incense there in the Holy of Holies, and right outside the Holy of Holies. And so they burned that, and it's like these, as their prayers went to the Lord, as this smoke ascended, it was like the prayers going before him. And you'd go in there, and it was the smell of that, the fragrance of that. You felt the presence of God. Hence, one of his names that he would be called would be Emmanuel, God with us. For this king then came. He stepped down out of heaven. And then the myrrh prophesying his death as one of the ointments used in embalmment. But I want you to also see, you could see that Jesus would be, here is the fulfillment of him as prophet, priest, and king. All three offices will be fulfilled in him. Now, he's not been crowned king yet on this earth. He came in this as an answer, in a prophetic way, and the myrrh shows that he would die. He would die in our place. He would be the priest who would stand in between, our great high priest, who would stand in between for us, who would be our bridge to the Father. But though he would come and be king of our hearts individually, we're waiting for the time in which he's going to come and set up his kingdom on this earth, the millennial kingdom. So there you have, again, a picture of his coming. Now quickly, I want to give you some applications of this story. God called the Magi. His call was on their life. Has God called you? You may think you're too far away, or you know too little, too much removed. But I want you to know God is calling. God prepared the Magi their whole lives for this one task. Just think of it. Think of the pains to which God had gone to prepare them that they would make this journey. The information that had to come together. Lest you think anything you do in this earth, when you do it as unto the Lord, it takes on a great significance. A spoken word. An action. I want you to know, God means business about your life. Thirdly, the Magi heard his voice, the voice of God, clearly. Why did they hear his voice? Because they were listening for his voice. Are you hearing God's voice? Is God speaking to you? Of course he is. When someone says, well, God isn't speaking to me, what they're actually saying is, I'm not listening to a thing God's telling me right now. The problem isn't whether or not God's speaking. God is speaking. He's speaking today. It's like he spoke with these children through this story. He's spoken through all the things that has happened in this Christmas season. And I have to tell you, I'll share one on Forrest. with you today. He'd love to be here today. He's ill, could not be here, but as far as he always sits right over there with his cane. He called me up Christmas Day, Christmas afternoon, left me a message. He said, "Brother Dusty," so I just want you to know, I finally experienced Christmas again this year for the first time since my son died. His son died back in, I think it was 1988. He said, "I experienced it," and he went on to share all the ways in which God revealed himself. Coming to the nativity, the things some of you did for him, the time that you spent with him, all those things, all those pictures that God brought together to speak his voice through the means of us. God is speaking. He's speaking today. The Magi heard his voice clearly. How clearly do you hear? They were obedient. They did what God told them to do. Can you imagine them sitting around in their Magi mansion? And they say, "Oh, there's that star we wrote." And let me tell you, they found an inscription in Israel not long ago through an archaeological dig that referred to Balaam, that prophet that I spoke about, and referred to him referring to the star. There was an inscription that they found that they dated back into the 11th century B.C. So we know that prophecy had been going on and on about the star. The star. These Magi were obedient. Imagine just gathering everybody up, say, "Oh yeah, we're going to take a trip. Where are we going?" "Well, we're going to that place over there on the other side of the Fertile Crescent where this king is supposed to be born. Ain't y'all ever been there?" "No, we hadn't been there, but we're going." And so they load up everybody and they go. What do you call that? You call that faith. You call that trust. Now, we're on the precipice of a new year. I'm just asking you today, what might God be calling you to do that's going to require you to exercise great trust in Him and do something that might be crazy to somebody else? And finally, their obedience led them on the greatest adventure of their life. You know, Lord may be a lot of things, but He's never boring. Is He? Can I get a witness on that? He's never boring. You know, I put that in the same category with a man that ever tells me he got bored with his wife. You know, that's not the way God has ever created men and women, that would ever be boring. You know, you quit. You gave up. And if you say that, that you got bored with God, then you quit being obedient to God. You quit taking the adventure. You quit accepting His invitation to go with Him. Boy, what an invitation this story is to go. To go. To follow. To follow the Shekinah glory. What a beautiful picture. Scripture says, "And coming into the house, they saw the child." Imagine. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." I wonder what that looked like. They see Mary and Jesus, and they fell down, and they worshiped Him. What a beautiful picture. All those Hollywood scenes where you see the light shining on the child and all, they can't begin to give you a picture of what that must have been like. The Shekinah glory. Here's the key. It wasn't the light shining on him. It was the light coming from the Son of God. The Son of God. He is Jesus. He is Lord over all. He loves you. And he has a great plan for your life. Maybe you're here today and you've not received Jesus as your Savior. I know we've probably got several here who've just been checking it out. I want you to know He loves you. He loves you. It's okay to check it out. Kick the tire. See. Ask the question. Ask the hard question. Don't be afraid. He can take it. Check it out. And then receive Him as your Lord. You can do that today simply by giving Him your life. Then, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. My Lord. Quite possibly you're here today and you've got some things you need to pray about. Never fails that holiday times that family stress goes up. Has anybody had any family stress? Huh? Well, half a dozen of us are on it. Stress? Yeah. Some of you are helping others put their hands up. That's real godly there. So does anybody need prayer today? Okay. Well, let's pray right now. I'm going to ask Brother Rick to come and join me up here. And if you want to come to the altar and pray today, or if you've never received Jesus, I'd sure like to pray with you today and for you to ask Jesus to come into your life. This is your day. Now, Lord, we come to you and we thank you for this beautiful story, the story of the Magi. Lord, what a beautiful, beautiful story. You put all the details together, and I thank you. Ask you to come now, Lord. Let us not just marvel at the beautiful story, but let us see you and hear your voice clearly right now. Lord, come. Lord, I pray for needs today. Family situation, sickness, division, strife, financial problems. Lord, the list goes on. We put all these before you. We ask you to come, Lord Jesus. Come. Speak and move. In your name we pray. The altar is open if you'd like to come.
wise men, some would say, we came far away. Where is he who was born our king? Wise men, some would say. Bring honor to our King and Savior too. Following heaven's star so bright, wise men, some would say. Before the throne, the Lamb, the Shepherd's door. What gifts have we to bring, befitting such a king? And so we kneel before the Lamb, the Shepherd's door. What gifts have we to bring, befitting such a king? And golden rings, spices for our suffering King, our Savior, our High Priest.
Daniel's guys don't meet and going on over there. I trust the Lord has spoken to you today. Has God spoken to anybody today? Continue to trust Him. Just prompted to say to you again, you know, in the days up until New Year's Day, a switch flips then in people's minds and hearts. But it's still 2013. It's still opportunities for this year that God has for you. I encourage you to use them. Come by. And if you need a place where you can find people, go see Russell at Walmart. Because most of Savannah is at Walmart right now. The parking lot. You can just walk through there and you can see everybody you know and not have to make more trips. Be sure you speak to one another before you leave. We'd sure like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, it's a basket up front, and we managed to find the ones for here. But we'll receive that at this time.
And so we bow before the Lamb, the Shepherd's door. What gifts have we to bring, befitting such a king. We bring our lives, we lay them down before, we lay them down before our King. Wise men, some would say,
Michael, is this your last Sunday before you go back to Atlanta, ATL, whatever you folks calling up there? Make sure you see Michael, and some of you ladies get some lipstick on his cheek a little bit for him. He's kind of grubby, though. And Megan, is this your last Sunday with us before you go back to the left coast? All right. So make sure you see her. And, you can hug Patrick, too, if you want to. Just for no reason, Patrick. I send you out in the name of Jesus. God bless you as you go in His grace. May you experience the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ, the Son, and the authority of Yahweh, our Father. Amen.